This podcast contains swearing and occasional disturbing content.
I don't need to live in this physical realm. I walk around in the physical realm. In the spiritual world is where I live. I exist in places you never even dreamed of. Strange.
Hello and welcome to the High Strangeness Podcast, episode 23. I am Ghoulish Gav, sitting here with Satanic Sarah.
Oh, nice.
Ah, devil hands. How's it going?
Good, thank you. How's it going with you?
Very well, very well. So, this is an episode we were going to do, I think, once before, and then we stopped it and we started going into a serial killer thing or something. So we come back to it, but didn't we have a listener suggest this as well? Pretty sure.
Yeah, well, a couple of listeners suggested this, yeah.
It's such an interesting subject. I love the fact I've gone straight into it, but I'm just doing an intro, you know. Because I know you're going to tell us about some other bits and bobs before we get into the crux of it.
Ooh.
The meat of it.
Oh, right. God.
Yeah, and someone thought about doing this before, the whole human combustion, spontaneous human combustion thing.
It's
such a weird concept, isn't it? I think it was in an X-Files episode, and it's just such an odd thing. But I can't wait to talk about it today.
Yes.
Which will be exciting. So, listeners, I hope you are all well, dandy. Yeah.
Indeed.
Happy.
Yes.
Happy and gay in the world.
Yeah.
And you are interested with spontaneous combustion like we are, or I am, and you, Sarah, you are going to give us all the information you found about it. Now, presumably, it's one of those episodes where we're not covering a serial killer, we're not covering a complete fact thing, but I'm presuming you've got some cases which are factual and it's proven, written down evidence that someone, the coroner's gone, spontaneous combustion, because they don't
know. It's not particularly used as a reason for death.
It's not a list of things that it could be. Yeah, it's not one that says it's not spontaneous human combustion.
It's not a legit excuse for death. Although I think a coroner has ruled, there was one case where a coroner ruled that it was spontaneous human combustion as cause of death. It's not usually noted as that, though. You know, usually I'll find another reason for it, because there's not really any explanation for that anyway, you know. So we're going to do some digging in a bit and listen to some cases and stuff and then see what we think about it, you know. How do we think it happens, you know, and stuff like that. It's interesting, like there's so many things that could cause it.
Yeah.
You know, not just falling asleep smoking or like got your nightie too close to the electric fire, like, you know, and your nylon sets on fire. That's it. You're up in a puff of smoke.
Yeah, well, I'm presuming gas or alcohol, because alcohol could be very highly flammable if it's really 100% proof or whatever. So that.
Well, I don't know how many people are going to be drinking 100% proof alcohol.
That's very true, isn't it? there's other things which it could be. Now, my mate Dave, now he's going to pop up once in a while in these episodes. He probably already has. I've spoken about him on my other podcast.
Is he the one that ate all the eggs?
He's the one that ate all the eggs, yeah. He's the one that thought he could do the Cool Hand Luke thing from the Paul Newman movie where he could eat 30 eggs.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of eggs. Surely you would not shit for like a month after that.
No, the human body generally can't eat that many.
Okay.
It can only eat so many until like the gag reflex just naturally
starts. Blockage.
It just can't happen. There's a legit reason, and your body can't take
really?
It. You just start going, I can't take it.
Oh my God.
Everything goes no. It's eggs though, isn't it?
Egg rejection.
And he did that dressed in a bunny costume in front of about 30 people that he didn't know. We told various people when we were younger and ran up my mate's house and his house, in fact, Dave's. And, various people, just different people, didn't know each other, just sitting there, different couples, didn't even know each other, don't ever met each other before, just sitting watching a guy in the middle of the room in a bunny costume with a bucket of puking on one side and a load of eggs on the other side. See, they could eat them, all quiet, all just quiet. Just, we filmed it as well. I don't know where the video got to, though.
Oh my God.
Anyway, he never made it. He started puking at 16 and he got to 20, I think.
That's still a pretty good feat. 20 eggs. That's a lot of eggs.
There's just egg puking up eggs everywhere. And there's always people just sitting there watching. And funny enough, there was a bet on it to see if he could do it, and they were taking money.
Shit.
And I don't even want to talk about this. Everybody felt so sorry for him, they all gave him the money. They're just like, no, because one person won the number of eggs they thought it would be, he'd be able to eat. They won like 30 or 40 quid.
Okay.
So they gave it to him because they felt so sorry for him.
So what's that got to do with spontaneous combustion?
Nothing. But Dave used to fart a bit.
I bet he did after eating all them fucking eggs.
And many, many times he'd lie back on his back, do a fart and light it up. Now that's the closest I've seen to spontaneous combustion is my mate Dave lying his fart.
Okay. Have you ever lit your farts?
I have.
Have you ever had a traumatic event from lighting your fart? Because honestly, I can honestly say I've never done it.
I did. This is obviously...
I've got to do it before I die. I'll add it to my fucking list.
You definitely have to. I presumably did it. I haven't. I don't know when I've done it. Probably like 18, 19 or something, you know.
Okay.
Many moons ago. But you do have that thing though, you do it when you light up, you think, is the flame going to go back up and set fire to my innards?
Yeah, totally. I've always wondered that, because surely there's a chance. There's like they say to you, don't light a can of hairspray in case it gets sucked back inside and blows the can up. You know, surely that could happen with your arse as well.
Well, absolutely. And I'm sure we probably should have found out. Maybe we could do it for next time's news. Did someone ever die from lighting their own fart?
Oh my God,
it's kind of connected to spontaneous combustion.
It is. It'd be internal combustion, surely, wouldn't it?
My mate Dave, that's the only reason I brought up my mate Dave. Now, those words will come up again, I reckon. But that's the closest I've ever seen spontaneous combustion, you know?
Yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting to hear some few cases. And are we talking, what sort of span are we talking, years? you got the top of your head.
I've got a kind of a case from the beginning, you know, when it was first kind of talked about. So it's been talked about quite early. Charles Dickens actually wrote about it in one of his books as well. Up until kind of like 60s, 70s, I think, 80s maybe.
Okay.
So, yeah, it is kind of like in a time span, which is quite strange because you don't seem to hear of it these days, do you? Whereas when we were growing up, you know, I remember it when I was a kid, seeing pictures of that, you know, and it was kind of a thing then.
Mm.
But you don't really see it anymore.
No, so, and you put up a couple of pictures. You put up a picture and it's just a pair of legs.
It's always a pair of legs.
Anything else?
Facebook actually covered that photo, one of the photos that I put up, saying it was too much.
Yeah.
But it's always just legs. It's so weird.
Why don't the legs burn?
I don't know. It's just bizarre. It's always just some old lady's legs.
That's so weird.
Left by a chair.
So anyway, listeners, we are doing human spontaneous combustion today. So anything else going on in the world of the strange and weird and wonderful?
Well, I've got a bit of like in the news stuff as well. So should we go into that now?
Yeah, go for it.
This is from literally like last month. I thought it was worth a mention because it's quite interesting. It's old Elon Musk.
I like Elon.
Old spooky Elon Musk. He's so weird, isn't he? He's like, he knows everything. Like, how does he do this shit?
Well, my theory is he is an alien.
Yeah, I think he disputes
very, very clearly from the get-go when he's asked it. He disputes the fact that there is anything to do with aliens. Because obviously he's in the space race. He's doing pretty well in the space race.
I think some astronauts from SpaceX have just come back, actually.
Possibly. Mm. And obviously he builds Tesla cars, which is very, very great cars. But he seems to be... Look, the thing is, though, he straight away is like, nope, no aliens whatsoever. And then the things that he comes out with, though, is almost like a man from the future. Because he says that life's a simulation. He's just saying this. He's going straight... This is like a guy who is the richest person in the world, okay?
Yeah.
You got to think about this. This is a guy that's all of a sudden appeared in front of us in the media and all this sort of stuff in the past few years, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's all of a sudden achieved being the richest person in the world. He says life is a simulation.
Mm.
He's getting everyone to travel to Mars.
Yeah.
And he's made these clean, environmentally free living cars, which are all electric and stuff, at a cheaper price, but very, very nice looking cars and stuff, you know. He's doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
And he's saying, dudes, come on. I'm thinking he's from the future.
Yeah.
And I think he's pretty right on this simulation thing. The more I think about it, you know, it's and I think when you take DMT and all these drugs, I think you're actually going to the actual, you're popping out the...
You're popping out the simulation.
Just for that moment.
Real life.
And then they're going, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. No, we knew those things weren't good. You didn't fucking get them, did you? It's a bug in the system.
Yeah.
But who is the one programming our simulation? Are we in a computer somewhere else? Then is that another world on top of that? What is that? Who's controlling us?
Yeah, where does it end?
So I would even do this as a subject with you. I'd like to get deep and something like this.
Oh, God.
But that might make people go, what the fuck?
Well, no, we could have a random weirdness episode, can't we? Where we totally
go. I'd love to go on an episode.
Go into
what
it, theories of what life is.
But this is Elon Musk, and he's doing that. So what's going on with Elon?
Okay, so I just want to make it clear as well. I think we both are totally against testing on animals because this story does include exactly that. Not massively,
Elon creating Planet of the Apes. Yes.
Yeah, kind of, I suppose, but like. This is just so fucked up. But yeah, I'm against animal testing. But just to say as well, they did have a visit from inspectors and stuff to inspect all like where the monkeys were housed. And apparently he said like it's the best monkey facility that this guy's ever visited.
The thing is, I'm probably sure.
Elon Musk said, I went the extra mile for them monkeys. You know, they fucking live in luxury. So that is a good thing. So, yes, anyway, Elon Musk's brain implant company, Neuralink, has released a video showing
Those sentences there. Elon Musk's... What's to say again? The first
Elon Musk's brain implant company, Neuralink.
Just that. Wow. Just those things. Brain implant company. I know. I've got... I'm building space rockets.
Yeah.
And I've got this car company, which is very successful.
Yeah.
I've also got this other thing on the side.
Yeah. It's insane. I know, obviously, he employs, like, the best of the best and people that know shit. But how does he know all this shit? You know, it's so crazy that he can kind of come in and go, oh, you know, this, and, like, direct himself or his energy into all these different things. Obviously, they're all for the good as well. I don't think there's anything really sinister going on with Elon Musk at all.
No, that's
But he's just such a weird guy that he's just popped up out of, like, practically nowhere. Because that's what I was thinking when I was writing this down, taking notes and stuff. It's like, where did this dude actually come from?
Mm.
You know, I need to look into it and see. Because he's just, like, such a random guy that's just popped up.
I do actually know one of his ex-assistants. He's at his PA.
Okay.
But obviously not exactly going to say anything.
Mm.
But he's a crazy guy. Yeah. I believe in UFOs as well and aliens, but like the fact that life could be a simulation, that's something that tantalises my interest buds in my head. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It makes me go, oh, I like that idea. I want to sit for a while and contemplate this.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so he's basically creating Planet of the Apes, yeah? Chuck Norris is going to be going wrong on a horse. That's the Statue of Liberty!
So I've released a video showing how it's taught a monkey, Pager, a 9-year-old macaque, to play the video game Pong with its mind. Neuralink Corporation...
I can't even play Ping with my fucking mind.
Neuralink Corporation, which Musk owns alongside his SpaceX and Tesla businesses, previously claimed to have implanted coin-sized wireless sensors inside the brains of two pigs, describing the sensors as a Fitbit in your skull. The implants work by recording signals in Page's motor cortex that normally coordinates hand and arm movements. Our goal is to enable a person with paralysis to use a computer or a phone with their brain activity alone, Neuralink stated. The tiny implant has more than 3,000 electrodes attached to flexible threads measuring about a tenth the size of a hair, capable of monitoring about 1,000 neurons. According to the company, the technology could contribute to finding a cure for neurological conditions such as Alzheimer's, dementia, and spinal cord injuries. Some of the more conceptual ideas touted by Musk include a kind of save state in the brain. So if you were to die, your state could be returned in the form of another human body or a robot body, he said.
Yeah,
So it's kind of like Black Mirror type thing, you know, when they had that recording thing in their brain.
It's very much. It's really interesting because it actually talks about, and it's the last time he's on Joe Rogan's podcast,
yeah,
and discussed the whole thing. And just the fact that he's trying to do this for people who, yeah, have Parkinson's or just those things which we're discovering that weed helps out. Yeah. For someone who has really bad shakes and stuff like that, you have smoke a bit of weed and they're finding out, oh, actually, yeah, that goes, and we're finding out properties and that. He's because it obviously triggers the different parts in the mind which control these. He's going straight for that jugular of that, so to speak, to you know, get these people back to being active again with these implants.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Again, doing another thing for humankind which is bigger than...
Yeah, totally.
Huge. If one person just concentrate all their life on just that one thing,
yeah,
that'd be incredible. But he's doing that and getting us to Mars.
I know. How has he got time for all this shit? Plus, he's got a baby.
I like the fact, though, on the first Joe Rogan podcast, he did actually sample a blunt.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course he would. But why would he not?
But I just love that at the same time. So then at the same time, that makes me go, okay, let's say he's an alien or he lives in a simulation but he's an alien or something like that, he's coming out and saying, no, it's not real, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Is that because simulated, they put the seeds into the ground but things, different things grew from it over the many, many years the planet's been evolving, Earth, yeah?
Hmm.
So he never sampled weed before because it was his first time sampling. You can tell it was when he was smoking it, you know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah, that's, I'm looking at that sort of thing. But anyway, this is a whole new thing. But that is a crazy idea. He's making Planet of the Apes.
No. Well, yeah. I think they're pushing for like human testing on paraplegics and stuff, but they haven't said when that will start.
Yeah, it's really good a thing.
But yeah, it's totally incredible. It's really cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Is that the news?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right, cool. Well,
that's your lot.
Human spontaneous combustion.
Spontaneous human combustion.
Oh, the other way around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not that it really matters.
SHC.
Yeah.
Okay. What an insane thing. And what is it? I suppose we're never going to know because anyone who's ever had this happen on them has never been alive to explain how it feels. Like, do they all of a sudden feel the heat in their belly?
Yeah, well, I haven't got it written down. I haven't got this story written down, but I did see a story about a baby, apparently, that keeps bursting into flames.
What?
Huh?
Is that like a superhero? Is that like a famous five? Famous five?
Fucking hell.
But, you know, something, one of those superhero things.
Fantastic Four.
Flame baby! I don't know. I'm making that up.
So I think there was the case of a guy who had survived, but it's like, you know, I don't know, how can you tell? You know, unless it happens again and you're able to kind of test that out.
Have we got any video evidence? Have you seen any video evidence of this?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't. I did watch QED on YouTube.
Oh, really? What, they did an episode on it?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
It's on YouTube in two parts.
Well, QED has got a more sort of respectable TV show back in the day.
Yeah, totally. So, I used to love that.
And they did two parts on it.
Oh, it was two parts on YouTube because an episode split into two parts. Right, yeah, okay. You can watch if you want. It's a good trip down memory lane as well. It was proper 80s. It was so good.
What conclusions did they come to?
No conclusion, really.
Yeah.
So...
They just said
it's just conjecture again, isn't it? I suppose, and what people kind of think and what you see from the evidence but I think, you know, there is some good explanations for it.
Do you think people would work really hard in their jobs if they knew when their boss said you're fired, you fell into a massive ball of fire, when they said you're fired? They'd work longer, wouldn't they? Work harder. Oh, don't want to get fired.
I don't know about that.
All right. That's the best gag I could do with that.
At least you tried.
As I'm booed off stage and everyone claps when you come on.
Oh.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so spontaneous human combustion, or SHC, is the pseudo-scientific concept of the combustion of a living or recently deceased human body without an apparent external source of ignition. In addition to reported cases, descriptions of the alleged phenomenon appear in literature. Charles Dickens wrote it into his 1853 novel Bleak House, in which the minor character, Mr. Crook, A cheating merchant with a liking for gin spontaneously catches fire and burns to death. Scientific investigations have attempted to analyse reported instances of SHC and have resulted in hypotheses regarding potential causes and mechanisms, including victim behaviour and habits, alcohol consumption and proximity to the potential source of ignition, as well as the behaviour of fires that consume melted fats. The idea and the term spontaneous human combustion were both first proposed in 1746 by Paul Rowley in an article published in the Philosophical Transactions concerning the mysterious death of Countess Cornelia Zangeri Bandi. According to accounts, during her last dinner, the 66-year-old Countess was dull and heavy. Some accounts report that the Countess was a brandy drinker and that she used to sprinkle camphorated brandy on her body to relieve physical pain. The maid accompanied her to her room and the two spent over 3 hours talking and praying. The maid left when her mistress fell asleep. The next day, when she didn't get up at the usual time, the maid went in to wake her and found the remains of the Countess. The room was full of soot, and the body of the Countess had been reduced to a pile of ashes approximately a metre away from the bed, although her lower legs below the knee, three fingers and the front of her skull were relatively intact. The bed and the rest of the furniture had not been affected by the fire, but were covered with a greasy, smelly substance. On the floor there was an oil lamp covered with ashes, but without oil. The topic of SHC received coverage in the British Medical Journal in 1938. An article by L.A. Parry cited an 1823 published book, Medical Jurisprudence, which stated that commonalities among recorded cases of SHC included the following characteristics. They are usually elderly females, the hands and the feet usually fall off or are left without being burnt. The fire has caused very little damage to combustible items nearby or in contact with the body, and the combustion of the body has left a residue of greasy and fetid ashes, very offensive in odour.
How interesting.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Like, nothing else is really, because you expect, when a fire just spreads, you expect, if a fire starts all around that area, the fire is going to be...
Yeah, you'd think so. You'd think it'd spread or it would affect other things. You know, obviously it produces a lot of heat.
Mm.
You know, as we'll see as we'll go on, obviously fire kind of burns upwards. It doesn't necessarily kind of burn kind of horizontally. But then, you know, there's shit that's going to catch fire.
Yeah, exactly. But it especially seems to be if it's a
burning
area,
body, you know, you're burning, it's fat, you know, surely that's quite combustible, isn't it? Fat, it burns, you know, so, and when it melts, it's going to spread. Surely that would take the fire with it. It's very strange.
What point did this Countess have a leg ache one day and thought, I'm going to put brandy on my leg?
I know.
Oh, that's better.
What's that all about?
No, it's because you're pissed.
Yeah.
That's why it feels better. So I love the fact that. So I'm not, like, she's not like a great example. She used to put brandy all over her body.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
It's camphorated brandy as well. And camphor is a waxy, flammable solid. she's kind of maybe soaking that with brandy and then rubbing that on her legs at night. So
it's
making herself flammable.
Absolutely. So that's her. But it's funny. And the leg thing, is that because like the legs can be lowered down and flames obviously go upwards?
I think that's what it is.
The leg, there's
extremities.
Not a huge amount of, like, from the kneecap down,
there's
not a huge amount
of
meat,
is there?
There's a lot of bone.
Yeah.
But
then
I wondered
if this had something to do with the bones. You know, because as you get older, obviously your bones
they did say,
become
more elderly
more,
people.
Yeah, your bones become more porous, I suppose. You know, and they're not as strong and as solid.
Yeah,
and they have gaps in them inside. So I did wonder if it would have anything to do with some kind of reaction in your body.
Yeah,
and then there's the hole in the holes in the bone, which I don't know, which would provide the air maybe, or I don't know. I don't know. I've just got a feeling it's something to do
that's
with
a,
them.
That's not a bad theory. Like the bones provide in the air. Like just the,
yeah, I don't
gaps
know
in
if
the
that
bones.
Would.
I
well,
know.
So
I don't know if it would. I like
some
that theory.
Way for something to travel through.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
It's a really weird.
Yeah, because I think it's some kind of body reaction type thing. You know, there's a couple of explanations later on about
what,
kind
different
of body,
chemicals or such.
Yeah, body reactions. You know, and
from a certain situation
when your body kind
like,
of like
if the, someone's drank booze or something.
Yeah, and stuff like if you don't eat enough carbs, your body starts overproducing. Oh, I can't remember what it's called now. We'll get to it later on, though. But your body ends up producing this stuff. It's like nail varnish remover. You know, so there's a chemical reaction going on in your body there.
Mm.
Which I think, you know,
and then,
could,
like you
could
say,
have something
so like,
to do
say
with
like
that.
People fucking falling asleep with a cigarette.
Yeah.
You know. But that's not going to stop explain why it's not burning elsewhere.
No,
but
because
why
I
would
think
the flames and rays not? Why would a flame be concentrated? How can that be?
Yeah,
it's not like a ball inside a ball lights up just inside the flames of the person. Why is that? Why are the flames not spreading?
That's it. And like
is
you can
or is
see
it such a small
of
flames that it's just going around the body?
It's just yeah,
so much, not like a massive flame. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it is like every part of the body just burns like a small flame all around it.
Yeah.
You know. Which is not enough to catch other things outside of a certain area.
But then it's got to be pretty fucking hot, you know, if it's going to burn the body to ash.
And surely you're going to start screaming. The pain's going
to
be intense.
Unless you're not able to, unless you've already
or your insides are being burned first.
Yeah, I think
then
one of the main theories behind this is that you burn from the inside out. So,
oh my
you know,
God,
you're not,
that sounds fucking horrendous.
Well, yeah, the fire starts is supposed to start inside.
Jesus Christ.
So you would burn from the inside out. So would you be able to, you know, shout or scream or move?
Well, you never know, though.
Like,
if your nerve endings would burn out for fairly fast, like the pain factor wouldn't be a pain factor.
Yeah.
You'd just be like, oh, I'm burning.
For God's sakes, I'm on fire
My
again.
My knob's on fire.
Fucking hell, that's the third time this week.
Yeah, put it out.
Drop and roll, dear, drop and roll.
Yeah, that's it. Throw sand on me.
Okay, so an extensive 2-year research project involving 30 historical cases of alleged SHC was conducted in 1984 by investigator Joe Nickell and forensic analyst John F. Fisher. Nickell and Fisher's investigation, which looked at cases in the 18th, 19th and 20th century, showed that the bodies were close to plausible sources of ignition, candles, lamps, fireplaces, etc. The investigation also found that there was a correlation between alleged SHC deaths and the victim's intoxication or other incapacitation, which could conceivably have caused them to be careless and unable to respond properly to an accident. Where the destruction of the body was not particularly extensive, a primary source of combustible fuel could plausibly have been the victim's clothing or a covering, such as a blanket or comforter. However, where the destruction was extensive, additional fuel sources were involved, such as chair stuffing, floor coverings, and the flooring itself. The investigators described how such materials helped to retain melted fat, which may have caused more of the body to be burned and destroyed, yielding still more liquefied fat in a cyclic process known as the wick effect or the candle effect. According to the investigation, nearby objects often remained undamaged because fire tends to burn upwards, but burns laterally with some difficulty.
Okay.
So that's what they found.
Body
so,
candle.
Yeah, body chair, like Brundle fly combination, but a body chair combo. Body chair candle.
Combo.
Monster.
sounds horrible.
Half body, quarter chair,
so
quarter
away,
candle.
Just
melting
away, basically. Just
kill me now.
So all the stuff which is left on the bedside was just fat.
Just
fat.
Basically, your fat melts into the chair stuffing and it just burns like a big, greasy, smelly chair.
Oh. Yeah, dear, oh dear. Okay.
Imagine that being the way you go.
What does that smell like, though?
It's rank, isn't it?
Oh, just the whole, way you go. It's just the whole idea of this is just horrendous.
Yeah, it did always used to. It used to freak me out when I was a kid.
What, you thought it was going to happen to you?
Not necessarily that I thought it was going to happen to me, but I don't know.
Did you know about spontaneous combustion as a kid?
I used to know about all sorts of shit when I was a kid. I've had years to get this weird. Years. But yeah, since I was like, oh, you know, I always used to have like those books on the paranormal, books on ghosts, you know.
Yeah,
I used to go in my mum's little cupboard in the kitchen. She used to have all those like freak show books and stuff in there, and she used to let me look at them. She used to let me watch horror films when I was so young, you know.
Yeah.
I started watching them when I was like six, maybe.
So you were freaked that you might get...
Well, not that it would get me. Not that it would get me, but it was just the idea of it.
Someone you know
might. Freaked me out.
Oh, okay, yeah. The concept of it. Mm. Yeah, I know, it's a very fucking weird thing out there, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's really spooky.
It's a little frustrating that we're not going to come to the end of this and have a conclusion. Do you know what I mean? It's a little frustrating because I'd love there to be like the fact that we're talking about it means that there's going to be something there somewhere at some point, which is quite like, well, this is enough to be a thing.
Yeah,
which has its own title.
But
you know,
yeah, we never will get to that because there's no way at the moment that someone can go, this is the process whereby this happens.
And
you know, there's
seen,
never going to be a conclusion until someone can pin that down.
And
so
until,
yeah, it's all just speculation. But
and until, like, in the way we are now, until we see like a video on YouTube of actually someone just sitting there all of a sudden going into flames, it's just going to be one of those things, isn't it? We can talk about it, but and see those photographs, but yeah, it's frustrating a little bit. I'd like to come to conclusion, but then again, we never come to conclusion, Bigfoot, are we?
No, and it's kind of nice to have that open endedness to it.
I think, you know.
It's like, well, what do you think? You
know, absolutely.
Everyone's free to kind of go, well, I think it's this
or that.
You know,
well, it's good. Well, it's nice that I'm sure some of our listeners have different feelings of what they think it is. You know, might disagree totally with what we may think
get on the Facebook page.
We need to get an email sorted out, by the way. Then we can drop links on that.
Yes, but yeah, let us know if you've got any opinions on this. What do you think it is, you know?
Yeah.
Do you know anyone that's spontaneously combusted?
Absolutely. all right, then. Carry on, my dear.
Okay, so we're going to go into some cases now.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can see what you think about these. So this is the case of Jeannie Saffin. The death of 61-year-old Jeannie Saffin in 1982 is one of the most frequently discussed cases of supposed SHC in history. And unlike most victims, Jeannie wasn't alone when she burst into flames. Jeannie was born with significant disabilities, so she spent her entire life living in her parents' home. On September the 15th, 1982, she was in the kitchen of her parents' home with her father and brother-in-law. The two men weren't paying too much attention to Jeannie until they saw a bright light out of the corner of their eyes. They turned to Jeannie and saw that she was inexplicably on fire. They quickly began dousing Jeannie with water to put out the flames and called for an ambulance. She was treated for her severe burns for a total of 8 days until she died from her injuries. The cause of death was listed as bronchopneumonia due to burns. An inquest was held into the circumstances surrounding Jeannie's death. At the inquest, Jeannie's family asserted that they believed it to be a case of SHC. According to Jeannie's father, he had witnessed flames shooting out of her mouth that made a terrifying roaring noise.
What the fuck?
Yeah, totally.
Was it Godzilla?
I want to be Godzilla. He said that the image brought to mind a dragon breathing fire.
Oh, there you go.
Jeannie's family also claimed that the clothing she'd been wearing was untouched by the fire, though later research proved this was untrue. The coroner at the inquest rebuffed the family's claims, insisting that humans cannot spontaneously catch fire. Researchers later put forth the theory that the fire had been caused by the pilot light from the family's kitchen stove. Anecdotal evidence suggested that the kitchen windows were open and a breeze could have blown the flame toward Jeannie and set her alight. Many are sceptical of the more mundane explanations for the fire that tragically ended Jeannie's life, Those who believe that she combusted point to her father's testimony as evidence that the source of the fire was Gina's body itself.
Wow.
So there you go, sitting in the kitchen 1 minute.
And flames next.
On fire the next.
Okay. I don't really know what to say for her, really, because there's not much more you can say for that one.
No. So, yeah, that's that one.
Okay.
Okay, so this is Robert Francis Bailey. Robert was a known alcoholic, and it is believed that he was seeking shelter from the cold inside the building in which he died on September the 13th, 1967. A person walking by called the fire department when he saw a bright light coming from inside the building. Within 5 minutes, a fire crew was on the scene. They found Robert on the floor, curled up as if he had a pain in his stomach. The fireman reported that he had a slit in his stomach measuring about 4 inches, from which the flames seemed to be coming. They later described the flames as blue and looking like the flame of a blowtorch. Robert was still alive when the crew arrived. They reported that he was writhing in pain and appeared to be biting into the stair post. The crew later had to pry his jaw open from the post in order to remove his body from the scene, after emptying several fire extinguishers onto him. There were other odd aspects of the case. Nothing else in the room other than Robert's body had caught fire. After putting it out, the crew found little fire damage to the room or to Robert's clothing. Only the part of his shirt covering his stomach and a bit of the floor below his body were charred. They noted that there were several highly flammable substances in the room, but none of them had caught fire. A later inquest hypothesised that the fire had been caused by Robert dropping a lit cigarette onto his shirt. However, the lack of surrounding damage and the speed with which the flames seemed to have grown make that theory unlikely. Additionally, it had been noted that the fire from a cigarette wouldn't have burned bright enough to be noticed from outside.
Because yeah, you normally get the fire dudes go in there and they normally sort of figure out how it's done.
Yeah,
they're very clever, being able to go right.
Yeah, they've been doing it so long. Yeah,
we know the direction the flames came from.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. It come from over here or whatever. And that's so interesting. So they're just ruling it as a cigarette. He dropped a cigarette on himself and it kept us out. But that doesn't go with everything else which has been shown there.
Yeah, that guy saying, like, there's flames coming from a hole in his stomach.
Yeah.
You know, that's not...
No.
He would know, surely, the difference between a fire started by a cigarette and some dude with a hole in his stomach with flames coming out.
And he was on fire when it went in, because they unloaded so many canisters and stuff and whatever. So that's crazy as well, like, so...
Yeah, and he's biting onto the stair post.
Wow, in pain.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Oh.
So that goes to show that the nerve endings are still there.
Yeah.
If he's been burnt inside out, if that's the case. Because if he's been out to do that, that's from the pain, biting something. God, imagine that. You're in so much pain. You're just biting something just to try and... Because you're trying to take the pain.
Yeah. Crazy.
Fucking hell. Imagine that being on fire, though. Just,
I know.
There's a way to go.
It's awful.
The elements.
Fire from the inside out, though, is fucking... Ugh.
Mm.
Awful.
Mm. Give me the willies.
Okay, so this is another one. On July the 2nd, 1951, 67-year-old Mary Reeser became a victim of SHC. She lived alone in an apartment, and on the day that Mary died, her landlady knocked on Mary's door to deliver a telegram that had arrived for her. When she received no answer, she tried the doorknob, which seemed unusually hot to her, so she called the police. The police arrived and discovered that whatever fire had occurred in the apartment was already out. They found Mary's remains on a chair. Her body had mostly been reduced to ash. All that remained was her slippered foot, her spine, and her skull. The skull was one of the most unusual aspects of the case. According to investigators, it had shrunk to the size of a teacup.
Her skull?
Her skull had shrunk to the size of a teacup.
Because it melted?
What? Just because of the fire. The fire would have contracted it, I suppose.
What the fuck?
I know.
Just her skull, though?
Yeah.
Why not other...
bones?
I don't know. Well, it's only like her foot.
Her skull
her
is foot, more of a concentrated area.
Her foot, her spine and her skull are the only things that are left.
What the fuck? Okay.
They also noted that there was very little damage to the room. A few plastic objects had melted just enough to morph their shapes, but nothing else appeared to be damaged. At an inquest, an FBI investigator speculated that because Mary was known to use sleeping pills, it was plausible that she had fallen asleep smoking. However, other investigators disputed this claim, asserting that it would be impossible for a fire started by a cigarette to reach temperatures high enough to fully cremate a human body.
And the other things in the room, sorry to interrupt, the other things in the room was all melting. Straight away, when you said that, straight away, it was like the room's just had a massive surge of heat, which has been going on for a sustained time, for that those things to slowly start to warp, you know, like a record melting or something. Like that was all sort of... So that's just a massive concentrated amount of heat. A cigarette lying on itself is not going to do that.
No.
Just not going to do it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. I was just going to say, the temperature to actually cremate a human body is at least 1,600 degrees Fahrenheit.
Right.
So there you go. For your information.
Well, that's a good point to say that, trivia. Right, okay.
Yeah. So it's
shrinking
so,
the skull.
It's got to be, I think it's super quick, it's super hot.
If it's
I don't think it goes on for a long time. I think it's like super hot, you know, and real quick.
But if it shrunk the skull on this one, why is it not shrunk the skull on all the other cases?
No idea.
She had a rubbish skull.
Yeah, she just had a malfunctioning skull.
Jesus. Again, though...
Find your receipt, take it back.
The most logical thing is, set yourself a light.
Yeah.
It's a logical explanation to get out of that one.
It is, it's easy.
If it comes a bit unexplained, you'd be like... Oof.
It's an easy one to go to, but it's not going to get that hot. If it's only leaving a leg, a spine and a skull, that's got to be pretty fucking hot to burn the rest of your bones.
Yeah. That's
that's
insane,
crazy to think that a fag would do that, you know.
Well, it can't. Even if it just sets your clothes on fire, it's not going to go to those temperatures.
No, not at all.
Thing is, I feel a bit like it's a bit cheated to rule that out, actually. They could have, like, the fire brigade themselves could have said, look, we can prove this to you. Get these exact make and model of the items in the room.
Yeah, totally. Just recreate it.
And you see if they get... Then let's turn up the heat and see what temperature it had to be for these items to do that. Or just get those items in the room and just do that.
Yeah.
You know. But what's the point, I suppose, of spending resources and money on something which is just, this person's dead, it had to be a cigarette?
Yeah, and I suppose because it didn't happen that much, you know, they're probably going to think, oh, what's the point in spending all this money on and resources?
No
because it's just like,
there's no point.
You know, you can just sweep these ones under the rug, you know, probably not too happy with the explanation for it, but...
Yeah.
It's
a shame they couldn't have gone into that more, but then again... If they did prove that, go, okay, you've proved that to me. What are you saying?
Mm.
We don't know either. So...
Yeah. But yeah, it's a shame.
It's just it had to be a very high concentrated temperature and...
There is a possibility there for someone to look into it.
Yeah. At that case, especially if there's... Yeah. If you've got... I suppose you haven't really got much of a body depth there, have you, really? It's just...
No.
You can't really give much of an autopsy. That's the trouble with it.
No, but at the same time, you could recreate that, you know, and kind
only
of go...
Only the temperatures,
off.
I would say, but, still not going to come out of evidence of it. All you do is prove that, it was a higher temperature, but we don't know exactly how.
Yeah. Okay, let's have another one. So
Could it not be a gas leak or something like that, and it just, like, a massive splurt of gas, like an explosion or something?
I don't think that would do it, would it?
Because
that would go bang,
and then that's going to be slowly things burning. It's not a temperature rising.
There would also, if that was a gas explosion as well, there'd be destruction in the room, wouldn't there?
I just don't get it. It's just a weird thing to not understand why this massive heat... Like, I'm not thinking more of an explosion, more of a splurt, so just like a shoot comes out and it starts. But like I said, that comes and goes. It doesn't sustain the heat for long periods to warp items.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's the thing which I can't figure out.
Yes. Okay. So on March 26, 1986, Kendall Moult, the son of a retired fireman named George Moult began to worry that his father wasn't answering his calls. According to testimony from his family and friends, George was depressed and suffered from lung problems that required him to use an oxygen tank in order to breathe, and this kept him at home most of the time. Kendall decided to drop in on George to check on him. When he arrived at his father's home, he noticed that all of the house's windows appeared brown. On the inside of the house, the air appeared smoky and smelled like something had been burnt. George had formerly been a smoker but quit because of his lung problems, so the smell was unexpected. Then Kendall found his father, or what remained of him. All that was left was a pile of ashes and a few pieces of bone. Authorities noted that the damage was similar to what would happen to a body that had been cremated. More perplexing were the inconsistencies in the room. A nearby television had melted, but the bedding on which George's body had been incinerated was largely untouched. There was also a book of matches on the bedside table that hadn't ignited. Investigators also noted that George's oxygen tank was still running nearby, but along with the mask was undamaged. The official theory was that George had decided to start smoking again and had lit a cigarette. However, this doesn't explain how the fire had been hot enough to cremate George's body but leave his bedding relatively untouched.
Again, I'm wondering if this one is like almost like Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, or one of those, not Raiders, it might be Last Crusade, I don't know, when he got the thing shooting through the air, going into people. I'm thinking the TV shot out some power.
What, like the Ark of the Covenant?
Yeah, that's it. From a TV.
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Straight into him on the bed, and that's what happened, just those two.
Okay.
Because...
So you're saying TV lasers for that one?
TV lasers for this one, because... definitely, because, like... That's the weird thing. You got the dude on the bed. He's a massive high temperature. But then a box of matches very close by have not gone to the temperature and set alight themselves.
Yeah.
But the TV has melted. Bits of the TV.
Yeah.
So how does that work? That's why I'm going TV lasers.
Okay.
Because I don't understand how that one goes.
Yeah.
If the bedding hasn't... This is just weird.
Also, his oxygen tank, which was next to him and undamaged, and it's still running. Like, oxygen, if that got hot and caught fire, that would explode. An oxygen tank.
That's so, it's so bizarre.
That would blow up. Like, fuck.
Hmm.
So that's still next to him and still running.
But why
and
the
hasn't
TV?
Been touched. The mask's, you know, the mask hasn't been touched.
Yeah. But why the TV as well, though?
Mm.
Well, that's fucking weird.
I think we've got to go with TV lasers.
TV lasers for the Holy Strangers on that one.
Ah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, really weird, eh?
WTF.
Ah.
LOL.
Ah. Okay, he's got another one here. Dr. John Bentley was a 92-year-old scientist when he fell victim to supposed SHC. On the morning of December the 5th, 1966, a meter reader entered Dr. Bentley's home, having standing permission to enter unannounced due to the scientist's advanced age. He went into the basement to check the meters, where he noted blue smoke that he described as sweet-smelling. He then saw a large pile of ashes on the floor, though the floor underneath had no evidence of burns. But there was a large square hole in the ceiling above, and he went upstairs to investigate. Upstairs, after passing through the smoky bedroom, the man found the remains of Dr. Bentley in the bathroom. All he found was a pile of ashes and the lower half of the scientist's right leg, the foot still clad in a slipper. He quickly called for help, panicked at the sight, but clearly Dr. Bentley was beyond saving. There were numerous theories about the death. Some speculated that Dr. Bentley had set himself alight with his pipe. However, the pipe was found unlit on the bedside table. Others noted that the man's clothes were found smouldering in the bathtub and concluded that he had caught on fire from the matches in his pocket. It's been stated that Dr. Bentley had lightly awoken to find his clothes on fire, run to the bathroom and removed the robe, but died before being able to put out the fire. Again, though, a fire started by a match would not burn hot enough to cremate a body.
Again, yes. I don't think he was running at 92.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think he would have got anywhere very fast at that age, bless him.
Yeah. So they're what? So he was in bed. Woke
don't know
up,
if he's going to make it from the bed to the bathroom on fire at 92.
Then again, if you're on fire, you don't know. You're going to run to water, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I suppose
jump
in the bath, it'd make you go a bit quicker.
It might make you go quicker. So what's going on with the? So he walks into the house, smells a sweet smell.
Hmm.
And looks up to a burnt square.
Yeah, so dude's in the basement, and he sees a hole in the ceiling. So he's burnt through the floor, I'd say. He's seen the ash on the floor in the basement and the smoke.
Which is burnt down from above.
So he's burnt through the floor. Where it's been so hot, he's burnt through the bloody floor, for goodness sake.
But his leg's there with a slipper on it.
Yeah.
So if he, so he might, what, so he's in bed with his slippers on already?
He must have gone. Oh, I'm on fire! Get up out of bed. Put your slippers on.
No, he didn't put his slippers on, did he? He wouldn't just fucking put his slippers on. He must have already had slippers on. So I'm thinking he wasn't in bed.
Yeah.
I think he's probably already in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But it doesn't explain. Then that one, I feel like we need to see. Not that I really want to see photographic evidence. Cause I'd like to see the trail of where the destruction was.
Yeah.
Maybe we could just blur out his leg.
Yeah. What makes makes him think? Like, was there evidence of him going from the bed to the bathroom?
He was already in the bathroom if he had a slipper on. So I'd say it possibly happened from in there. Dun, dun, dun.
Dick Gav
in the house. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, okay. But poor bloke.
I know.
No, not the one set on fire. Poor bloke him. Poor bloke, the one who turned up and went upstairs. If he'd found the doctor and had a heart attack and died, he'd be like, oh my God, I saw a dead person there. Yeah, I discovered it. Oh my God, really? Yeah. Oh, but he's down the pub late on having a beer pint. No, went in, found a fucking leg, nothing else.
Smelled something really nice. Made me hungry.
Yeah, I got the munchies from dead smelling people. And then I just found a leg.
Yeah.
No wonder he's panicked.
Yeah, it'd be trauma, wouldn't it? It'd be awful. Just find someone's burnt leg and loads of ashes. You'd be like, oh, that's fucking gross.
Like, what the fuck? Because then you'd realise you'd probably start being sick.
Yeah, totally.
At least throwing
up. You'd realise you've been breathing in a dead person.
Ugh.
I bet it smells well greasy and, like, weird.
Well, you thought it smelled sweet when you went in.
Yeah. Oh, nice ham sandwiches.
Fucking hell.
Okay, so that's the end of cases. So we're going to go into, like, possible causes now. So, you know, tell me what you think of them.
Well, I guess first, then we can discuss.
Chime in with your bits.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So, in order for anything to combust, three things are required. So you need very high heat, a source of fuel, and an oxidising agent, which is generally the oxygen in the air. So the human body is largely made of water, making it very difficult to burn. Some have suggested the fat in the human body could act as the fuel source, and the victim's hair or clothing may act like a candle wick, known as the wick effect, like we mentioned earlier. So is that one? That's one theory.
And I'm thinking, like, other things. I don't know if you get that, but I'm thinking then straight away, like, hairspray.
Yeah.
Certain makeups.
Yeah.
There's going to be stuff which is very inflammable. And like that Countess had just put brandy all over herself. There's going to be just
certain things. Like back in the day, like the kind of times this is kind of
when
going
safety,
on, which is like
and safety wasn't
60s
a thing.
To 80s, yeah. Or 50s to 80s, you know, and 90s.
Mm.
It wasn't that great, was it?
No.
You know, fucking, there was loads of shit in like hairspray and...
Mm.
You know, so much crap.
Well, hairspray now, you'd be able to easily set fire to a can, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking stuff like that as well, but yeah, okay.
Okay, so British biologist and author Brian Ford has another theory for the cause of the fires. In a condition called ketosis, this is what I was talking about earlier. So this is caused by alcoholism or low-carb diet, like the keto diet.
Mm-hmm.
The body produces small amounts of the flammable substance acetone, which is used in nail varnish remover, which is flammable. Ford believes that if a person is unwell, they may produce enough acetone that a tiny spark, perhaps due to static electricity, could cause the person to catch fire and burn.
Back to the TV.
Yeah, totally. I get fucking electric shocks off everything from static. Even my fucking cat the other week was so staticky. It was insane. Like, we were getting electric shocks off the cat. I got one in Tesco the other day off a trolley.
But what if the dude, we don't know how far this TV was from the bed, what if he'd leant forward off the bed, yeah, it was far enough to reach, turned the thing, and there was an electrical surge, which was whatever happened, and it did exactly what this theory is, yeah, and that's actually worked.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty strong...
That's
a pretty strong case, because obviously your body's producing that stuff, it's like acetone, so that's going to be an accelerant.
But ill like what?
This can be due to like alcoholism or a low carb diet. So I'd say like being ill, probably not eating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your body's going to go
maybe
into
drinking
that.
Booze,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, if you're drinking. But yeah, being unwell, like not eating properly. Yeah. You know, your body starts producing, because you do, when you've been ill for a bit, you start stinking, don't you? And you're all like minging.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, your body producing loads of shit, you're sweating out loads of crap because you're not very well.
Yeah.
You know, spark from static. I think that's a pretty good contender for that one, I'm putting
that one at the top.
Yeah.
And like we were saying before, though, how much that last one, with how much water is in the human body, it must be quite hard, but...
But then again, these are all kind of like older people, you know. Do you dry out a bit as you get older? Your skin gets thinner, you're not holding as much water. You know, like we were saying earlier with the bones as well, you know, the bones are more brittle. Does that make them easier to burn?
Mm.
Or easier, you know, does that make there be less of it left?
Mm.
You know, because it's so
I know
easy
what
to
you're
burn.
Saying. Yeah, it,
less
that
evidence
might be more
left.
Theory in there as well, though, yeah. Being older because of that.
Yeah.
A little bit more dried up.
Yeah, because you do, don't you? Bless you, when you get old, you get all wizened and you get a little bit smaller and you're not as resilient as you once were.
I'm thinking of Superbad now, when they're going to the and they're going to the party and he takes lube. He says, "Why have you got lube? Yeah. All they money, old women."
Yeah. Amazing. So yeah, I'm big for that one. I think that's quite a good explanation. Almost all cases of SHC involve persons with low mobility due to advanced age or obesity, along with poor health. Victims do have the possibility of having died in their sleep and been unable to move once they are caught fire.
Yeah.
So there is that one as well, but like, it still doesn't really explain.
It doesn't.
It doesn't explain why they caught fire. It doesn't explain why the fire didn't touch anything else around them. It doesn't explain why their legs left, you know, so, yeah.
Maybe that old guy was in the bathroom was slipping. Maybe he was having a shave with an electric razor and
Cigarettes are often seen as a cause. Natural causes such as heart attacks may lead to the victim dying and dropping the cigarette, which after a period of smouldering could ignite the victim's clothes. But like we were saying, you know, it's not going to burn hot enough to cremate the body, I wouldn't have thought. You know, there's got to be some kind of accelerant there as well. You know, there's got to be something that's going to make that fire hotter. And as well, I suppose, thinking about the time period, you know, think about
things
the materials. The materials that were used as well in clothes like nylon, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Catches fire real easy, burns real quick as well, you know. Yeah. So I suppose that could be viewed as an accelerant, really, couldn't it?
Yeah. I think a lot of all these is possibly like a layer of factors.
Yeah.
It's a result. I can do this, really.
Yeah. Mast cell researcher Lawrence Afrin, MD, proposes that a rare condition called mast cell activation syndrome may be the cause of the phenomena. In MCAS, mast cells spontaneously release over 200 inflammatory molecules known as mediators, including the substance known as noradrenaline. Afrin describes a case report of a man with MCAS who grew ill and appeared to smoke in front of several witnesses. Afrin writes that the sudden release of large amounts of noradrenaline or another mast cell-derived substance under the right circumstances could activate a protein switch in the body and cause heat generation in excess of 90 degrees Celsius. Once the adipose tissues were ignited, it would, in theory, burn itself out, inclusive of bone marrow.
That's when you said about the bones and the air going through. I was thinking of bone marrow as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd be right on that. Okay, so again, this is another factor, which, imagine if we combine that with the last one, just there's been these, because they're not a massive occurrence, there's these freak incidents that happen because shit does happen.
Yeah, just because of a convergence of like things, factors, you altogether, know, all together in that right.
There's that 1 second, bing, does it?
I'm all for this, like, cell kind of activation thing. There's something going on with that, I'd
cell
say.
Cell activate, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm. Good, I'm feeling a bit more relieved about this conclusion. I feel like we're getting somewhere, actually, with this.
It's not like Black Eyed Kids, is it? Where it's like totally, you know, there's no...
Yeah.
There's no nothing about it. There's no, we can't come to any conclusion about that. You know, there's speculation about this one.
Yeah.
There's quite a lot of speculation about this one, you know, so it's quite interesting. So we can come to, like, some kind of conclusion,
I
suppose.
A bit more, yeah, absolutely.
It's a bit more satisfying in that way.
I agree.
British chemist Dr. John Emsley suggests that cases of spontaneous human combustion could be the result of an overproduction of a pyrophoric liquid, diphosphane, in the gut. He suggests that the self-combustion of diphosphane would also result in the ignition of hydrogen and methane gases in the gut, which would explain why some witnesses report seeing blue flames, which is methane, coming from the abdomen of the victim.
Wow.
So it's gases in your tummy. It's bottom burp gases in your tummy catching fire.
My mate, Dave. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, again, another factor.
Yeah,
the
totally.
The body's full of gas anyway. Yeah. It's just another thing to get a fire going, a flame going. We've still got... The only other thing with all this, though, at the end of it, though, from the small amount of cases that we have heard from today... It's the other things melting around, though, and then something's not being set on fire, then something's being set on fire. Mm. That is a bit... They're the odd ones.
Yeah. Like,
we can get a conclusion to possibly why, but why is it... Why then, you know...
Yeah.
Are things warping, then the box of matches isn't up, then the TV, like...
Yeah.
Mm.
It is strange.
It is really weird.
But then I suppose, like... If this is some kind of chemical reaction within the body, and obviously it doesn't happen very often, you know, and we don't get to study it, would it burn differently than any kind of other fire that we've kind of, you know, that we know about?
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if that would make it any different, you know.
Because
it's not stuff that you burn normally, is it? It's not something that you can really study, you know, the chemical reaction of mast cells and shit.
No.
Not something that you can really get a handle on, so I don't know if the fire would burn differently.
Yeah. And ultimately, we're never going to get probably a conclusion to this. Well, maybe, but...
Yeah, I don't know. So there's another alternative theory for you. Larry E. Arnold, in his 1995 book Ablaze, with an exclamation mark...
Ablaze!
proposed a pseudo-scientific new subatomic particle, which he called Pyrotron. Arnold also wrote...
Transformer?
Yeah. Arnold also wrote that the flammability of the human body could be increased by certain circumstances, like increased alcohol in the blood. He further proposed that extreme stress could be the trigger that starts the combustion.
Amazing. I'm so fucking stressed.
I'm going to blow up.
So stressed that you blow up into flames.
There's another one for
so
you.
We're going to be stressed for that one.
Yeah, stress.
I don't think stress is the answer.
Stress
I don't think
sets you on fire.
I don't think so.
There's a new transformer molecule called Pyrotron, and stress is what sets that on fire. So there you go. That's his explanation for that one.
No.
There's another one for you. In his 1976 book Fire from Heaven, UK writer Michael Harrison suggests that SHC is connected to poltergeist activity because, he states, the force which activates the poltergeist originates in and is supplied by a human being. Harrison writes, SHC belongs to the extensive range of poltergeist phenomena.
Right, okay.
It's ghosts.
Ghosts?
It's ghosts. Angry ghosts. angry, naughty ghosts blowing people up.
So what, they're just there going, oh, pissed off with that one.
Yeah.
Oi, Larry, what? Watch this.
You're going to teach his fucker and set him on fire.
Shoot a little fucking flamethrower finger at him. Elon Musk, there's a bit of a confident thing to that. He made his own flamethrower you can buy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can buy it from a shop. But it's not... doesn't get as hot as it a proper flamethrower, and it doesn't go as far.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what's the range on that?
How crazy is that? Well, there you go. That's a nice connection with Elon.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, there you go, it's your next Christmas present. No. I was going, yay.
There's your next Christmas present. Flamethrower.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be good fun. Okay, so last one. John Abrahamson suggested that ball lightning could account for SHC.
I'm thinking of John Travolta. Ball lightning! This
is circumstantial only, but the charring of human limbs seen in a number of ball lightning cases are very similar to SHC victims, says Abrahamson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. He just says that they're similar.
Oh.
And it could be ball lightning. I think ball lightning gets a blame for loads of stuff, to be honest. I've never seen it, have you? Has anyone ever seen ball lightning? Write in and let us know. I've never seen it.
Was it just a ball of light?
It's a ball of light. I've never seen it. I don't think it exists. I think it's lies. I think they're lying to us. I remember one the other day. They were going, look, the ball lightning's coming closer to the window. It's just someone behind him with a bloody torch.
Yeah.
Fucking stupid. But yeah, I've never seen it. I think it's lies.
Yeah, I'd buy that. Yes.
But do let us know if you've seen ball lightning. I'd be interested to know.
So
that's your lot. That's it. What do you reckon? What are you going to go with out of all that?
I'm really into the internal different parts of the body all having a freak incident and just happening to come all together at the exact same moment as possibly an electric shock or electric current passing through the body.
Yeah.
I think all of this is possibly what is.
Because you can get like static from combing your fucking hair and shit.
And then just
you?
Something happening and bang, it's just been a complete freak incident. I think it's something like that. And something which doesn't need to be ruled out by which could have been investigated further and don't be ruled out by a cigarette.
I don't think you need to.
You can investigate that further and be like, oh, this is actually a thing. Yeah. But like I said, though, you can't give an autopsy to charred remains.
No, you can't. But like, yeah, they could have looked into it a bit more. I think this could be. Well, I don't know how you would, though.
But they can't.
All you can do is have
a conversation about it and go, that could be what it is. Let's hope the next time it happens, we may be able to put the body up before it goes. Obviously, the person probably died, but then we can investigate further. You know, it's too hard to say. But it's a fascinating thing. And there's a movie out there, isn't there?
There is. It's Brad Dourif's in it as well. It is called Spontaneous Human Combustion.
Any good?
Yeah, it's all right. I watched it again not that long ago.
What happens?
Brad Dourif's mum and dad were the first people in the human nuclear test thing in like the 50s, and they didn't realise that she was pregnant with him at the time.
And so he's got radiation.
So they were in the bunker, and they thought they were all okay and whatever, but it turns out that he can spontaneously human combust and survive, but at the end he starts kind of going whoa and can't control it and just starts bursting into flame. And I think there's another girl as well who can do it, who he meets.
That sounds crazy.
And it's something to do with the doctor. The doctor did it on purpose. He knew that was going to happen.
Oh, right. Tests.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an all right film. So check that out if you can, but I'm not sure. It might be on YouTube.
And I think X-Files did an episode on it.
Yeah.
I think, I'm pretty sure he did.
And the QED thing, that's on YouTube in two parts as well, if you want to do a little reminisce with that.
Well, only if you know of that.
If
you're from England. All right, well, thank you very much for
that's
that.
Right.
Satanic Sarah. And I'm Gordish Gav. And thank you very much, listeners, for coming along with us. If it's your first time, I appreciate you coming along. And we've got a lot more new listeners. So thank you so much for joining. And we don't plan on going anywhere. And we've got lots of fun episodes. Now, do you want to tell a little bit more about next time? It's a double parter.
Well,
double ender.
Oh. I don't know if it... Do you want to do two parts or it might be another part? Is that all right?
I don't mind. Yeah. I thought it was going to be two, but...
I'm not going to say we're going to get it done in two parts. I wouldn't say that. Maybe three.
Oh, so I thought you were saying one, so three. Okay, so there's a little series on it. Okay,
yeah,
and
do a little series on it.
Broadmoor Hospital.
Yes. That's on that.
Can you give a very brief...
Broadmoor's a hospital for the criminally insane. And,
with what's happened.
It's had loads of famous inmates in there. Charles Bronson's had the Yorkshire Ripper. There's been so many people there. Robert Maudsley we're going to cover as well. He's really interesting. He was put away for murder and he murdered about three paedophiles while he was in there. He was kept in like the bottom of Broadmoor in a cage on his own.
Oh my God.
Because he was just murdering paedophiles in there, left, right and centre. And he was like, I'll do it again. No, not at all. Like, he's actually an all right bloke.
And he's kept in a cage there? Because yeah. I live, like, not far.
Yeah, you're quite close,
I live, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah, so we're going to cover them. Some of the lesser-known people that were in there as well. There's a couple of weird twins that were in there who only communicated by telepathy and never spoke to anyone for years and years and used to write these really weird books.
Mm.
And, yeah... Very strange. They've got a really strange story. So, yeah, we're going to go into, like, the history of Broadmoor, you know, when it was built, what it was used for. I think it was built by the Victorians.
That's really interesting.
So we'll go into that, and we'll go into, like, a few of the lesser-known people and some of the more famous people.
That's really interesting. You've got the different cases of different people who have obviously done different crimes.
Yeah.
So we've got a real variety of stuff going on.
Yeah, because it's not just murderers and paedophiles.
Yeah, but then we've got so many different people. And all of a sudden Jimmy Savile comes into the mix.
Yeah, we've got Jimmy Savile.
If you've heard our episode, you know about him.
Go back and listen to the Jimmy Savile episode.
To the hospital when he's not a qualified medical practitioner.
Yeah. For sure.
It's
just insane, literally.
So this is going to be a really, really interesting series, and it's definitely going to have some murder.
Yeah, there's going to be some murder. You know, we will go into the stories of the people that are in there, you know, so I'm not just going to kind of skirt over them.
That hospital's still going now.
Obviously, there's so many people that have been in there, we can't cover everyone, but yeah we'll go into a few of the more... more grim stories and, like, some of the unknown stories as well.
Indeed, that'd be fascinating. So please join us next time, guys, for that episode. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, definitely. Interesting to do that.
Well, as always, people, stay safe, enjoy yourselves and whatever you do, and remember to check out deadboltfilms.com, where we've got a lot of short films, another podcast I do called The Podcast on Haunted Hill, where I talk about horror movies with my buddy Dan. We've also got a bit of merch in there. I'm going to get a new logo for us going on at some point.
Get some t-shirts. I'm repping you today. I've got your podcast on Haunted Hill t-shirt on.
No, I appreciate it. If you want any fantastical crocheted items,
get yourself over to my place.
I don't know if you could do a spontaneous combustion
That'd be good. I've done a dumpster fire. I'm sure I could do, like, I bet I could do a scene, couldn't I, of a little chair with a little leg and a slipper by it and some ashes.
So as you can
tell,
little
electric fire, that would be well good.
If you want anything made crocheted, or you want to just check out her website, there's a lot of stuff on there which is kind of cool, a lot of horror memorabilia type things.
Loads of random stuff over there. That's Fox's Fantastic Fabrications. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram, and you'll find my Etsy links over there. Or you can find me on Etsy, Fox's Fabrication 79.
Splendid.
Yeah.
So, as always, stay safe, peoples. Enjoy the world, the strange world that we live in.
Yeah.
Any other suggestions you guys want to give, throw out to us.
We definitely
can look into it and do that.
Any weird stuff you find as well, lob it up on the Facebook page.
Yeah. So, remember, go downstairs, lock the doors and windows. Yeah.
And just hope you don't burst into flames on the way.
Make sure the curtains are shut. Make sure Jimmy Savile's not looking through the window.
Oh, my God. Well, let's hope not. He's been dead a few years now.
I'm not going to start
Jimmy Savile's fucking ghost looking through my window. Jesus Christ.
Big old cigar sticking out of his mouth in a shell suit.
Fuck off, Jimmy.
And that's the end of that. Thanks, guys. Coming back again soon.
See you later.